Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Friday, March 29th. From Capitol coverage, the Colorado Senate has approved a $30 billion state budget proposal that will pay for full-day kindergarten and increase spending on roads and bridges. Senators struck a bipartisan deal to cut some money from other programs to spend an extra $100 million on transportation. The agreement appeared to ease some partisan tension that has existed in the chamber in recent days. The budget proposal passed with strong bipartisan support. It now goes to the House to consider changes in the Senate bill. And in more from Capitol coverage, the Colorado Senate has narrowly approved the Red Flag Bill, allowing police to take guns away from people who pose a threat to themselves or others. KVNF's Scott Franz has more.
Supporters wore red shirts and held photos of gun violence victims as they watched the debate in the Senate gallery. Democratic Senator Rhonda Fields says the bill will save lives.
What is wrong with empowering a family member who sees someone that's out of control and they need some help and they call the police? That's what the police are there for.
All Republicans in the chamber voted against it, including Senator Ray Scott. He says it will put police in danger.
I believe there's a high potential this may lead to more armed confrontations between citizens and law enforcement.
Senate President Leroy Garcia was the only Democrat opposing the bill, which now heads back to the full House to consider amendments added in the Senate. I'm Scott Franz at the state capitol.
Next, we have KVNF's Jody Peterson reporting on the West Elk mine expansion planned for the North Fork Valley.
The West Elk coal mine, located east of Paonia, is the only coal mine still operating in the North Fork Valley. It's owned by Arch Coal, which has sought since 2010 to expand its operations there to reach untapped coal reserves. The Obama administration supported that expansion, but environmental groups sued to require more study of potential impacts. The proposal didn't get federal approval until last week on March 18th. Now, Arch Coal will be able to mine another 10 million tons of coal, adding 2 years to the expected lifespan of the West Elk mine. The mining will take place beneath a 1,700-acre area of the Gunnison National Forest, known as the Sunset Roadless Area. While such roadless areas are generally protected from further development, in the North Fork Valley, coal mines are allowed to build temporary roads on them. The mine expansion will include the building of about 7 miles of road to reach drill pads for 38 methane vents. Those vents are necessary for the safety of the miners. The coal seams and surrounding rock in the West Elk mine emit a significant amount of methane, which at certain concentrations can be highly explosive. So the methane must be vented out of the mine, but it is also, in the atmosphere, a potent greenhouse gas that contributes to climate change. The mine is the largest point source of industrial methane emissions in Colorado, putting out enough methane each year to equal the greenhouse gas production of 90,000 cars, according to the Environmental Protection Agency. Environmental groups have long sought a way to capture that methane and put it to use generating energy rather than letting it escape into the air. Both Gunnison and Delta counties supported the mine's expansion proposal on the condition that it work on methane capture. In 2017, the North Fork Coal Mine Methane Working Group was formed to study how best to capture the methane from the West Elk and other local coal mines and either put it to use or convert it into carbon dioxide, which has a smaller impact on climate change than methane does. The working group has federal, state, and county representatives, as well as members from utilities, conservation groups, and the mine companies. KVNF spoke with Chris Kasky, who represents the Western Slope Conservation Center, on the methane working group.
Basically, we are looking to support the coal mines and coal communities in education and evaluation of options to mitigate or use coal mine methane. There is a lot of gas, and some of it would be great to do beneficial use. And in fact, one of the mines has a small power plant on it right now. But there's too much gas, and it's too low of quality, and it's leaking out of too remote of locations to put it all to beneficial use. So as much as possible, I would like to see mitigated, turning that methane basically into CO2. And that's better for the atmosphere, both from a warming perspective and from, like, smog-forming pollutants and that sort of thing.
Caskey says the working group continues to meet monthly and is making some good progress.
So the working group is anxiously waiting a response from the Bureau of Land Management. We sent them a letter that basically said, here's everything we've learned, and here is what we would like you to allow us to do in terms of getting our hands on that resource slash waste to use or mitigate. That went out a couple of months ago. We are waiting, and we hope in May, at our May meeting, that the Bureau of Land Management will respond.
For KVNF Radio, this is Jody Peterson.
An unsolved homicide is gaining new attention thanks to a Grand Junction police officer who was working on the case during his days off. For the Rocky Mountain Community Radio Exchange, KOTO's Julia Caulfield has the story.
The Grand Junction Police Department is reopening a 1975 cold case homicide, and they're looking for help from the public. On December 27, 1975, 17-year-old Deborah Tomlinson was found strangled in the bathtub of her Grand Junction apartment. According to the Grand Junction Police Department, Tomlinson was sexually assaulted and strangled with a gash on her forehead, indicating a struggle. The case went unsolved at the time, and then 4 years ago, the Grand Junction Police Department got a grant from the Colorado Bureau of Investigation to reopen cold cases. Tomlinson's case was one of them.
This one was assigned to me to look at.
That's Corporal Brandon Ludwig. He says that even with the grant to open old homicides, they still weren't able to solve the case. But this one stuck with him.
I approached the police department a couple weeks ago about asking them if they would let me reopen this.
Ludwig is now working the case on his days off. He says he was even willing to do it for free, but the police department found the money to pay him for the extra hours. According to Ludwig, his motivation for the case comes in large part from Tomlinson's father, who still lives in the Grand Junction area.
I think the biggest part is just trying to give her father some closure. And to be honest, the last 4 years, it's bothered me that we weren't able to clear the case back then. So it's kind of been nagging at me a little bit over the years.
Ludwig says he's working to track down investigators who worked the case in the 70s and also talk with witnesses and persons of interest from the original investigation.
I think that there's somebody out there who has information about who killed Debbie. So that's the biggest part of it.
He adds they plan to use new DNA techniques that weren't done in the 70s. But Ludwig notes that solving the case will likely rely on someone coming forward with new information. And that's why they're asking for help from the public. If anyone has information about the Tomlinson case, the Grand Junction Police Department asks you contact Corporal Brandon Ludwig at 970-683-3404. For Rocky Mountain Community Radio, I'm Julia Caulfield.
And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Friday, March 29th. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks so much for listening.